Last night all I think about is you. Don't stop, baby, you can walk too. Go on, baby, think about you. Welcome to Why Are People Listening to This? A podcast about why are people listening to things.
Well, it's properly titled, then.
Properly titled. We worked hard on that. yeah, we're on our way back from a little bit of a holiday hiatus. I'm Jake Hanlon, your host with the most. And I'm here with my yang to my yang, Justin Gregg.
Hello.
And
nice to be back.
It's nice to be back.
It's been a long time.
The holidays, you know, they take a lot out of you.
They do. And put a lot into you sometimes.
Put a lot, yeah, sure. So we decided that since it was going to be, the world was going to be inundated with Christmas music for about a month, we decided that it was best to maybe take a step back and then return in the new year rested, recharged,
mm-hmm.
ready to listen to new sounds.
But is this song that we're about to do, the current number one,
no.
is this better than the Mariah Carey that we would have had to do? I don't know.
Well, ironically, Mariah Carey was still number one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right now, even?
Yes, yes.
What?
Yep.
People, stop listening.
People love that song.
Come, it's,
Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You.
It's still number one.
I'm not going to listen to it, though.
That's crazy.
You can't escape it from around mid-November till mid-January.
Yeah.
And we could have.
I know, but...
done it. We had a backup plan.
Yeah.
But other things got in the way.
Yeah.
And this is the newest... This is, I think, number seven. But, like, there was a bunch of Christmas songs on the Billboard. I'm referencing the Billboard 100 charts here. I don't know why we use such an archaic system, but that's what we're doing. And it was, like, Mariah Carey and then Frank Sinatra and, like, the classic Christmas songs, Rock Around the Jingle Bell Rock and yada. And then Adele. We've done Adele.
We already did.
Kid Leroy. Justin Bieber already did, you know. Anyways, and this was the first one of the new songs,
which
was the seventh charting top, which is Heat Wave by Glass Animals, right? That's the name of the band,
Glass Animals. Yeah,
Glass Animals. Right. I was gonna say Glass Tiger. Yeah. I'm obviously Canadian.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm a child of the '80s.
So yeah, that's insane that there's so many Christmas songs still number one right now. I'm confused by how this chart works.
It's a little heartwarming. In a way, it's kind of like people still love Christmas.
Yeah, but soon it will be dead. All those Christmas songs will die.
It's all gonna and then probably by like February, you won't see any of them on the charts at all.
Yeah,
period. Like there'll be some residual fallout.
Well, more power to like Mariah Carey, who's just raking money in off of this one song.
Yeah, she's laughing her.
Yeah,
yeah.
So we're doing Heat Wave by Glass Animals.
Yes,
have you ever heard of Glass Animals before?
Not I know that they've been around for a little while, like as an indie kind of band, I think, but like I think that this is now like their big coming out party.
Okay,
I know that they had like another song that was like maybe like a quasi hit with Joey Badass.
Did you make that name up?
No.
Okay.
No, he's a what they call a rapper. And but this was kind of like my first experience listening to them.
Yeah.
And I have thoughts.
Okay. Well, I've never heard of them. I had heard this song before, which we'll get into in a second.
Okay, that's interesting.
For reasons. But I'd like to hear your idea or your feedback first on just your listen as a song. Is it a good song? Did you enjoy listening to it? Do you do you have an explanation as to how it got to, well, number one, actually number seven? How did it get this far up the charts? What's going on?
Well, I don't flat out have an answer why it would be number seven. Hopefully we'll get to the answer with your revelation. That's about
exciting revelation.
I know. You know something I don't know about music. This is
This is not about music.
Oh, okay.
This is about tweens and teens.
Oh, yeah. I know nothing about
that.
Yes, okay. I defer to your parenthood. I don't hate it.
Okay.
I think there are some good things that are happening in this and that it's like halfway to being something that could have been like really special. Like a good song that people would be probably thinking about for a long time afterwards. And mostly because I can tell, like, listening to them without knowing anything about them, I did look up things to confirm my suspicions.
Okay.
That they were British. That was the first thing I thought.
Oh, interesting. What made you think of that?
It sounded a lot like Radiohead and Coldplay had a baby. And then and then that baby is rebelling against that by like listening to more
little
everything seemed very UK about it.
Uh-huh.
Like to the sounds in the production.
Yep.
They're kind of indicative of endemic of like some UK sort of hip hop sounds and like the production of it just felt very English in a good way. I think that it sounds very good. And especially with some of the tricks that they're using to, they're not tricks, but some of the tools that they're using in the studio to kind of keep the listener's interest throughout what is actually quite a repetitive song,
mm-hmm.
like super repetitive.
Yes.
And I like repetition in music because as a composer myself, like it's a very important tool to repeat ideas so that you draw the audience and the listener in that, oh, I've heard that before. Where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to go somewhere. You know.
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying.
So this doesn't, like, in a musical, like, if you were to write it all out, it doesn't go anywhere from the beginning until there's a middle section, which we call a bridge.
There's a bridge in
there. There's a bridge, which I was just, like, immediately, I was like, tick that box.
Well, I was amazed there was going to, because it was so repetitive.
I was shocked that there was going to be a bridge.
Because I'm like, it's going to be like a little Nas X song. It's just over and over and over and over and then done.
When the bridge happened, I was just like, yes.
Well, it elevated
somebody,
it for me.
Somebody is paying attention to songwriting here. And then, but the tools that they use them in production. So when the song starts, it's in a lo-fi sort of like, sounds like you're in a vacuum or like you have, something over your ears, you know, like these sorts of things. And then there's a slight change and then hi-fi with the big drum sound. And I like the drum beat. Mm-hmm. I know I'm sure it's not a real drum set or anything like that, but like, it actually like makes me kind of like nod my head. Like there's a groove. Like a lot of the stuff that we've listened to on this podcast has been grooveless.
Yes, this is
with the exception of like the Silk Sonic thing or whatever. It was like all about groove. This has kind of a groove, and I really like that and I appreciated that. I like the quality of the singer's vocals. I think that he's got an interesting voice, and the inflections that he employs throughout the song is always changing. Except for when he's on like the chorus part of it, you know, sometimes all I think about you, Heatwaves in the Middle of June, like whatever, like that's always the same. That's probably a little copy and pasted.
That's definitely copy pasted.
But like in the verses, like he changes it, he changes up like his inflections and dynamics a little bit, and that's a sign of a strong artist, and who's actually paying attention to those kinds of things. And so that ticked the box for me. As I said, the bridge ticked the box for me.
Cool.
I don't like lazy board fades for endings.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's just indicative. That's something that is like from radio days, like mm-hmm. where one song would fade into the next song, or like if you were listening to an album, then you would have board fades. It made sense then artistically, like this song is ending and then this song is starting and you're on this journey. But in today's music consumption world, like a lot of people don't listen to music with that sort of like focus on like listening to one artist for the whole album.
And so for those who don't know, the board fade is at the end of the song just slowly gets quieter until it disappears, but it's repeating the same thing until it's you can't hear it anymore. And in the 80s and the 90s, that was
the way
normal.
It was done.
And now
that's how you do it.
Not so much.
Now it doesn't seem to carry the weight because people aren't making albums like people are like that. But like a lot of like the music that we've been coming across so far has not really been like so much that way. Although we've done three concept albums because Adele's album, that song is on a concept album about her divorce and all these things. And we did a Taylor Swift song,
which
was a concept album, like recreating an old album and finishing it. And then Silk Sonic is a concept album in like a sort of very tongue-in-cheek way.
That's true. You're
and that song doesn't have a board fade. It's like has a ending. Anyways, so that's one of my problems with this current way of writing songs is songs never end. They just kind of like when you have the same four or five chords,
you just stop. You just stop repeating.
Eventually, it's just at some point somebody says, all right, we're done. So can we make this go for another four bars and then like fade it out or have some sloppy, stupid ending? So that, I don't appreciate that so much. But but there's a lot in here that I kind of like. When I was listening to it for a pop song, like a alternative sort of synth pop thing, like I kind of liked it. Like I was like, oh, I could listen to this, like, and like kind of bob my head and sure. enjoy that for what it is.
Yeah. I thought it was enjoyable to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right that the enjoyment comes from, because there's nothing happening, right? Like the verse and the chorus are using the same progression.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm always, that is always a sign of the current music. Like that's the way people.
Yeah.
Whereas when I'm thinking of songwriting, I'm thinking they're different chord progressions. Whereas here, it's not. And so it could have been terrible in the sense that it's just so repetitive. But like you say, it was the mixing engineer coming into this to make the song, right?
Like, it sounds really good.
Yeah. Like, right. But it was like the lo-fi start and then like instruments are coming in and out and repeating, a different instrument is playing the same thing and then this is gone for this section. And that dynamism is what makes it move along without just boring you.
Also good harmonies and like different like vocal layerings, like the background vocals, which are mixed very much in like sort of like in a very sweet spot of the mix.
Yeah.
Like are always changing and are very different throughout the whole song. Like from what I remember listening to, which kept my interest, like, oh, what's happening with this? It felt different than like a lot of like produced pop music today where everything is very much like, put in its place.
Yeah.
And this had a little bit more development to it throughout the song in that regard, despite the fact that, the song didn't go anywhere. I actually like envisioned in my head, and I was thinking this on my way over here, is like, how did they write this song? And I don't know, and I'm not taking anything away from the songwriters, but like, to me, it was like, I feel like the person who wrote this song was like in their home studio with their tools at their hands, and they came up with that kind of groove, you know, and then came up with the hook and just kind of like vibed on it. It feels like a vamp, like a repeated thing over and over again.
Yes.
They're like, yeah, okay, now I've got this, you know, heat wave lyric and all this kind of stuff, and I've got this. Now what do I need? Like, this is not the chorus. This is the chorus, not the verse. And then we need two verses, and I'm going to make this is going to be about me, you know, like a relationship that's not working.
Yeah.
So, okay, which is what the lyrics are pointing at, right? I feel like very much like just like put it together like one evening at home, chilled out, maybe took a had a little something.
Yeah.
And put this song together and set that to the rest of the people in the band or their producers and said, what do you guys think of this? Yeah. And then they were all like, let's layer these different things and this way so that the song actually goes somewhere. Because it feels to me like the song was written in 45 minutes.
I agree with you. Because like, there's not a lot happening with the lyrics. If you read, like, the chorus is always the same every time. So if you remove the chorus, you're only dealing with, like 8 lines.
Yeah.
And they're all short.
And that was another thing that made me, like, instinctively think this is a British or an English artist, because there was a bridge. Right. And that's like something that like just seems to never be let go from British like Beatles bands. Because it just all harkens back to the Beatles where like that was something that they always did. They start with the hook. Beatles started with hooks all the time, like in the early phases of their career. And having a middle eight, as the Beatles, as Paul would call it, or whatever, where the chords were different. It offers so much to the listener. Like we think about the songs that we've liked on the podcast thus far.
Yeah,
like we love the Silk Sonic song. Mm-hmm. That thing changed a lot over the course of it. Right, we liked the Adele song,
which is a real song.
It had a middle eight and it had no auto tune and all sorts of other things. We were apathetic about the Taylor Swift song because it was so long.
It's just so long,
But there is a change that happens in it. And when the change happens, it's like, oh, a change. Like, what's happening? It re-engages you as a listener. And in a song such as Heat Waves, like, it really did need, it desperately needed that middle eight. Otherwise, I would have probably, like, checked out, like completely been like, yeah, this is trash. And it's not trash at all.
No.
But it's so funny how 4 or 8 measures of a slight change can make all the difference in the world. Elevated. That's a really good choice.
Like you're saying, I think for young people, especially like my daughter's age, she's 13, they are used to consuming a lot of music, but not as a full song. There is part of, like, it's the background to a clip, right? Either it's in a TikTok video or whatever, and it's short. And so the fact that it's repetitious and there's no middle eight, they don't care because they never get that far into
right.
it. It doesn't interest them. They're not used to consuming songs in an album or in one sitting as an actual song in the same way that we would have always been. So for us, we get bored real quickly if it's just repeating and there's no changes. Whereas she, my daughter, is like, that wouldn't even cross her mind. She doesn't think of songs like that.
Right.
She thinks of it as the groove. Like, this thing is like 4 bars and you either like it or don't.
I saw this funny TikTok and I recognize that song you're listening to because it's from that TikTok video or IG reel or whatever.
Which gets me into my explanation as to why this is
popular. Oh, okay. Great.
I mean, it's not a bad song, but it's not that different from every other song in a way. Like, but when I started to play it yesterday, when you're like, you emailed or you texted, you're like, we're doing this song. I'm like, great. Turn it on. And my daughter comes running in. She's like, hey, I know that song. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah. And then this, I wrote down her exact phrase. I'm like, how do you know it? And she said, because the Dream SMP stands use this song for their memes about the Dream Not Found ship. And I'm like, okay. And look, like, it's like, English. I know what that means only because, like, I try to stay connected to her world, right? Like, I'm an old...
Yeah,
okay. I'm a video game dork, right? Like, I have been played video games since I was young or whatever.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I'm an old man now. But I have enough of that youth in me that I'll engage with her to know exactly what she's doing online with her friends. And I get it. It makes sense to me why it's interesting. And so what she's talking about is Dream SMP. Have you ever heard this?
No. I don't have children.
So this is important because it literally was going to explain why this is so far up the charts. So Dream SMP is a Minecraft server that these people started.
Okay.
Where they go in with their Minecraft characters and then they role play like essentially a soap opera. And so they will improvise it and ahead of time they'll sort of have an idea of what they're what's going to happen in this. And it's almost like a television show and that there's millions of kids who will watch this live stream through all the different people like involved on Twitch or whatever, or they'll go back through YouTube and follow it along. And it's like a television show, soap opera. And so all these random like YouTubers or Minecraft players are mega popular, you know, tens of millions of
followers. Sure, like esports people.
Yeah, like hugely popular, hugely wealthy now through all the stuff that they're doing.
Gosh, wow.
Just from running around in Minecraft and you know, acting silly on a Minecraft server. But everyone is invested in them. My daughter and all our friends dressed up as characters from the Dream SMP for Halloween, right? Anyway, so what they're talking about is that this song was used for a lot of memes and little videos and images or whatever as background music to denote this hypothetical, not actually canon part of this story, relationship between two of the main characters. Dream Not Found, one of the main ones. Oh, sorry, a Dream and George Not Found. George Not Found is another character.
Like the handle of...
So Dream Not Found is like the Brangelina. It's like you put them together. And they call that the ship, right? The relationship. Ship is a term that they would use. And so that's the Dream Not Found ship. The two of these people actually aren't together in this story, but they imagine they would
they
be.
They are...
Yeah,
so in the metaverse,
right? So there's fan art of these two characters getting together, right?
Yes,
and then over that fan art will be this song.
This song.
This is their song, right? And the stands are the fans.
Yes, I know the stands.
Okay. Yeah. So there we are. So those are all the words in that sentence. And essentially, again, there's tens or maybe hundreds of millions of kids on this planet following along with this.
Yeah.
Who are familiar with this song because of this fake relationship between these two characters. And so that alone is enough to drive this thing up the charts.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fascinating. Because it has absolutely nothing to do with music.
Absolutely nothing to do with music. Somebody started off this Dream Not Found ship, and they might have just found on TikTok.
I like this song, and
this is a good groove.
This fits this 30-second clip.
Because, I don't even know if the lyrics have anything to do with it. at all. Maybe not. Maybe it was just like somebody found it and looped it and boom, huge.
It's a good question for people who probably would not want to give you an answer as like a Gen Xer. Yeah, well, I mean, it's quite something that like, I wonder what the artists think about that.
If I were the artist, I'd be psyched.
Yeah, because I mean, like, it's money in their pocket,
I
mean, right?
Like, but I found some of my songs that you and I had written for that children's album are being used in the background of TikTok videos. I think I sent you a link.
You did send me a link.
And I'm like, this is cool. Because there's something about it where, like, if your music is being used to make more art, it's very profound, you know?
But the context of it, I could see as an artist, like myself, like I could see somebody being perturbed by the context of it. Like, who the hell are these kids, like, turning this song, this heartfelt song that I maybe potentially hypothetically wrote about a woman that, like, I was in love with but didn't feel like I was good enough for or whatever, is being used in 30-second blurbs on TikTok. Like, nobody's actually hearing the whole song. That would bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Me. Mm-hmm. Like, that would bother me. But then I'd be, like, crying in my Bitcoin. I don't know. TikTok, as I have said many times, frightens and scares me, and I don't understand it, and I don't want to, but I totally buy what you're saying, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Because I understand the magnitude of esport.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I know how far that has gone, where you have people watching, you know, like League of Legends finals, getting the same number of views or more as a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
So, this is similar, such a global thing, and this is, I guess, it's global too. Like, the internet takes away borders.
Well, that's the thing.
I've
asked, like, my family, some of my family moved over from Europe recently, and they have kids all in that same age group. And I'm like, hey, have you guys heard of Dream S&P? And they're like, obviously.
Wow.
Like, and I chat with my friends all over the world, and they all know Dream S&P. Like, it is borderless. And,
wow.
And there's just people watching it all over the planet.
I feel very out of touch.
but how could you be?
How
in
could
touch?
I know? Unless I was on those forms of social media.
Like, which you would not be. You're not going to start a Minecraft.
I've never played Minecraft.
Yeah.
I know what Minecraft is in a very, very pedestrian way.
Yeah.
Like, but I know that it's a game where you build things. That's it. I don't even know if you do that in it anymore.
Well,
apparently you have like cyber relationships with people from wherever and hundreds of millions of people.
Or you watch other people have cyber relationships.
Yeah, well, I get that too.
Yeah, like it's funny because I tried to explain this to other people because it makes sense to me because it's essentially just a collaborative imaginary play like you would do, like, if your kids were all together and they were out like making a snow fort and they pretend to be two enemies, or it's the same thing. It's just it happens to be online.
It happens online.
And they're creating narratives and relationships just like I watch my shows on Netflix, you know, and it's the same thing. It's just in a different medium.
Yep.
Same thing. And so it's very human. And music is a real big part of all of this, right?
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so that it's changing the way these boards work, billboard stuff. And I think it's
fascinating.
Yeah. And I'm sure this is part of it. It's no coincidence that she heard that song and is like, hey, I know that song is great.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to look on the Spotify list and the Apple Music list to see where that's trending on non-Billboard. It might be trending higher, you know. Like Spotify is that's what the youth use.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
for sure. That's what my daughter uses to find
out. Yeah. I don't condone Spotify and I don't support it. I am an Apple Music subscriber.
Okay. They pay out a little better.
They pay out a little bit better. But like for the kind of music that I listen to in my world, there's a better selection on Apple Music than there is on Spotify.
Cool. All right. Fair enough.
So, and there's no other way to buy music anymore other than to find a music store. Like you can still go on iTunes and buy people's albums. And I do. And you can buy albums on Amazon.
Sure.
But I will pay for the subscription. And I pay for it gladly.
Yeah, I've started buying people like on Bandcamp. Because often the people on Bandcamp are not major artists.
No, they're all independents.
Right, and so they're never gonna earn squat from Spotify.
Yeah.
But if you give them $10 for the album on Bandcamp, you've made a big difference.
Yep, I bought a lot of music on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
All my albums are on Bandcamp, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
and all my music's are on Apple Music and Spotify.
Yeah.
I had no say in any of it, but they're all there.
But who knows? They may, any of your songs could end up in the background of one of these,
a TikTok video, and if that happens and I get rich over it, then I will spend it on Bitcoin.
I think they'll be a billion views and you'll make tens of dollars. I think
tens of dollars on Spotify, tens of dollars.
Yeah,
I'll be able to go out to lunch.
But the thing is, like, yeah, a lot of people hear it on TikTok, but then they'll go look for it on Spotify, and then it gets played on Spotify, and then that goes up their charts, and then other people find. So it's a snowball effect. There's no shame in earning no money and having it on TikTok, knowing that it might lead to something bigger.
Exactly.
Oh, there's only one thing I had to say about this song that I hate, and that is this, and I don't know what you call it, but this.
Pardon me.
No worries. But this pitching down of a voice, so it's like
lo-fi sort of thing.
No, well, like they must take a voice and then pitch it down an octave or something.
Yeah. Oh, they do that at the beginning, right?
Yeah, and I hate it.
Excuse me.
No worries.
No COVID here.
No COVID. No COVID.
There's one like thing that I was like, why? It's an imaging thing. People don't know what imaging is. It's like how they pan sounds coming out of speakers.
Yeah.
There's like at the beginning of the song, before the drums come in, it's really normal in music and all sesame music. Before the drums come in, the drums set up their entrance with a fill.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the fill is as simple as one snare drum hit, or sometimes it's a bunch of different things, and it's supposed to grab your attention.
Yeah.
And I think on this one, it's just a floor tom hit, ba-doom, but it's panned hard to the right.
Oh, so it's did you just listen like, on headphones?
No, I just was sitting in front of, I have like floor speakers, like good speakers at home, and I'm kind of sitting there like when I'm listening to something that I'm trying to critique, like, especially with popular music, because there's so much emphasis on the production, you know, like I will fiddle with the EQ a little to kind of get something that would be like, I'd put it on a pop preset or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, all this lo-fi stuff in the pitch, and then like all of a sudden, like coming out of the right speaker or my, like I'm facing it left, like it's just doo-doom. Like, I'm just like, why?
Holy
like,
shit.
Why did you pan that so hard?
Yeah, that's it. Well,
and
maybe
it upset me. And
because when you might, like sometimes when you pan a kit, you do that, right? Like hi-hat all on the left,
and
floor tom, big one all the way on the right. But like, you don't have to, especially if it's like, supposed to get your attention.
Hard panning is like a thing of the past, I think. Like,
I hate it when I'm listening on headphones because it makes me like twitchy.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't need hard panning.
No, it doesn't. It does. If its purpose is to like shock you, I suppose most people wouldn't maybe not notice that. Like,
they're all listening on mono on TikTok.
Yeah. They're all like, they're on their iPhones with the speaker on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Anyways. That's me being very, very,
very picky,
picky about something that only the nerdiest people would be upset about.
I mean, that's what we're here for. That's what this podcast is.
We're here
is.
For the nerds, baby.
You're the nerd. Well, okay. Should we then play the song?
I think we're going to let them listen to it.
Okay. Listen for that floor, Tom. Listen for the...
Goo-goong.
Yeah, goo-goong. Yeah, listen for the fact that there's a bridge, which makes you happy if you're old like us.
All the nice little changes that they make in the production after the fact of what is a very simple, pleasant song.
Yeah, so be surprised at how much a boring song is actually.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jake, we'll catch you next week.
We're going to do this again next week.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. I'm swimming in the pool. Won't you mind with the immature heat waves? I'm swimming in the pool. Sometimes all I think about is you. Late nights in the middle of June. Heat waves been faking me out. Can't make you happier now. Sometimes all I think about is you. Late nights in the middle of June. Heat waves been faking me out. Make you happier now. Usually I put something on TV, so we never think about you and me. But today I see our reflections clearly in Hollywood, laying on the screen. You just need a better life than this.
your sleep and smile so comfortable. I just wish that I could give you that bad look that's perfectly unsaid. Sometimes all I think about is you. Late nights in the middle of June. He always been faking me out. He always been faking me out.
Why Are People Listening to This is brought to you by the Black Box Collective and Outside the Lines Press, and it's produced by me, Jake Hanlon, and my friend Justin Gregg.
If you enjoyed the show, please give us a rating and maybe a review on the Apple Podcast Store. This is the number one thing you could do to help out the show, strangely enough, and it's simple and it's easy, and you can do it right now.